Our discussion returned to themes from Richie Davidson's presentation on neuroscience the day before, with Francisco Varela making a link to compassion. He said, "I've found a very interesting connection with the practice of cultivating compassion by exchanging oneself with others, where at the beginning we use our imagination to generate an emotion that is slightly contrived, but then we get used to it and we carry it through. Therefore, you can learn and modify with the imagination in a physiological sense. This is the idea of neuroplasticity." Francisco cited the finding that trained musicians enlarge relevant parts of the brain. In other words, hours and hours on the violin change the amount of cells involved in musical performance and enhance their conductivity. Mark said something that I think is very important, I pointed out. He said that first learning is easiest. Later learning takes more effort, as you say, because it's relearning. Can we help children learn these things in the first place so that the brain follows those pathways? Mark answered, "There is a great deal of development in the frontal lobe during early and middle childhood. We don't understand it all yet, but it happens just when these issues of self-control and being able to use language to talk to yourself begin to develop in the brain." What you're saying, Dan, is right, I think. This relates to what Mathieu said about a culture of gentleness. He gave the example of not killing a fly. If you killed a fly around Tibetan children, it would upset them. There is a cultivation of gentleness that we don't see much in America. Unquote. Only minutes before, I had been struck by a spontaneous enactment of this sort of compassion. As the Dalai Lama had been speaking, he noticed a tiny insect crawling on the arm of his chair. He used his tissue to pick up the bug. He passed it to the young monk beside him, who took it out to the garden and set it free. "So the question is," I asked, "how can we raise children to be always in the kind of mood where they would do what His Holiness did?" Mark gave an example. "I sometimes tell teachers a story about two brothers, one who was never satisfied and one who always seemed satisfied. On Christmas morning, they got their presents and the children were up in their room playing with them. The child who was never satisfied had a new computer and games and a little robot. But when his father asked if he was happy, he said, 'No. Now all the other children will be jealous of me, and then the batteries will die, and I'll have to buy new batteries,' and on and on. Now the other little boy had gotten a load of horse manure for Christmas. When his father went to his room, he found him happily playing in it. His father said, 'Why are you so happy?' He replied, 'There must be a horse in here somewhere.'" And so we try to tell teachers that we want children to have that more optimistic attitude. It is interesting how such buoyancy is a very important characteristic in the Buddhist model.